Thank you very much, and welcome to our conference call for the second quarter. Thank you very much for your interest in joining us today. I hope you have the slides in front of you, so go through the presentation, and I also hope that the sound is fine. So welcome. What has been new since we recently have spoken on Q1? In August 11, we increased via an MAR publication our outlook, and this we confirm as of today. And the second news was on September 19. Here we published a press release stating that we continuously assessing the capacity utilization in the light of higher energy costs and recently decreased ethanol prices. So this is still ongoing. So let's get started on page number 2, and let's start with the highlights. Here on page 2, you can see the highlights and the topics that we want to address with you today. So first is the market and political environment. So we will cover the points, what is new in Germany and on EU level, and have a look into the development of market volumes and prices, with a particular point on the energy side. Secondly, we will have a look into the development of the CropEnergies group, and here I'm pleased to announce that we had an increased production compared to previous year. And then also, that will be the last section. We will have a look into our strategy and strategy execution, so the diversification process is to continue. Very positive news on the financial side, so this will be the third section. We have a very, very strong second quarter with record turnover and results. And as I've already stated, we confirm as of today the outlook for financial year 2022-2023. Please, let's turn on to page number 4. You can see what is new on the political side in Germany. So there is still, from some politicians, the call for less biofuels. We have debated this and discussed it extensively in our Q1 call. So this time I can be quite short because there's not too much news. So the discussion is still ongoing, but what is positive that from the transport minister is stressed that climate protection is biofuels contribute very well to that. And also positive on this side is that the SPD Bundestagsfraktion has clearly communicated their support for biofuels. So as we have stated in Q1, from our point of view, this discussion falls short because when producing biofuels, we do food and fuel. For us, it's not a food versus fuel. You can see that on the right-hand graph with the raw materials coming in and the different products we produce, so it's food and fuel. And just as a reminder, that the grain that we use, it's not suitable for human nutrition, and additionally, more and more waste and residues are used. Everything what we do is 100% certified sustainable, and it is also sometimes ignored that biofuels have no significant impact on agricultural prices. So in a nutshell, what is important to state that what we do in Europe, European ethanol, is much more than only fuel. So we contribute clearly to climate protection with less greenhouse gas emissions, and we add to the security of supply, because whatever we do reduces one-to-one the need to import, for example, fossil fuels from Russia. So on the German side, not new, but we monitor this closely and take part with fact and figure-based information in this discussion. When it comes to Europe, you find this on page number 5. There's new on the RED III implementation on European level, so the Renewable Energy Directive III. The first part of the slide here, you can see what the EU Commission has published in July 2021 as proposal for the review for the RED III, so this is not new. They assume or propose for the RED III to have a greenhouse gas reduction target of 13% by 2030, to maintain the crop-based biofuels with a share of 2020 within +1% within the 7% limit, so this is unchanged. Increased mandates for advanced biofuels, and overall, our assessment to this proposal, which was the first part of the trilogue, we believe that higher greenhouse gas targets are needed and that there's still a one-sided focus on e-mobility is still dominant. And from our point of view, this falls short as we will need all technologies to bring down CO2 emissions in transport. So the EU Commission, what I've just stated, it's the first part in the trilogue. The other two European chambers to work or partners to work on in this trilogue are the European Council and the European Parliament. From the European Council, there has been a general approach on June 27, which is largely in line with the Commission's proposal. And recently, the European Parliament, which is the third sector in the trilogue, has debated and defined upon their position. That was on September 12. And important to see here that they call for a higher greenhouse gas quota. So they claim for 16% emission level. So this 16% compares to the 13% what has originally been proposed by the European Commission. And we deem this as a step into the right direction. 16% is what also we assume as reasonable and achievable and should be the ambition level for greenhouse gas reductions in on European level. Important to state that the European Parliament has not voted in favor of a change of the 1G biofuels. So this is a strong bait for the political debate, because here we can clearly see that from the European Parliament's perspective, there's no need to change or to bring down or to reduce the crop-based biofuels. On the other side, what they did, where they also have higher ambition levels, that is for the level, the higher shares for synthetic fuels. So from the European Parliament's perspective, they claim for higher mandates being 5.7% than in 2030. And I believe this also confirms our strategy that we will discuss later on, because part of the crop energy strategy is also to play here an active role in the field of synthetic fuels. So the trilogue is ongoing. So as I said, it's the trilogue between European Commission, the Council and the European Parliament. This has started in early October. So the first trilogue has taken place on 6th of October. I believe some compromises could have been already found, but there are still many open topics and those are to be discussed in the second and the third round of trilogues, which are foreseen on the 16th of November, 7th of December, and the final trilogue shall take place on 14th of December. So if everything runs well, we could have a final or clearer picture on the trilogue outcomes for RED III by the end of this year. So found politics. I move on to slide number 7. This is the market development. Here you can see the volumes on the European market. We show here EU27 and UK. Let's start on the right-hand side, I would propose, with the graph that it's speaking. You can see that when we look into potable, this is quite stable over the years. The same is true for industrial, but what is positive, you see a strong increase on the fuel side. So 22 compared to 21, there's a strong increase coming out of Corona. And also for 23, there's a slight increase in fuel consumption foreseen on the European market for ethanol. When it comes to Super E10, you can see the right-hand graph, and I repeat myself, overall, this is a success story in Europe. More and more countries go to E10 with high market shares. Germany is lagging behind, but step by step, we do progress. And positive to say that by June this year, we have reached a market share of 25%, which is, yes, clearly still below other countries, but it's a strong increase if you compare year over year, June 22 to June 21, it's an increase of E10 by 80% and bringing us to a market share of 25% from 15% last year. So this is clearly positive, and our ambition, our hope is that this is to be continued, as it is the better fuel. On the next slide, page number 8. We have a look on the ethanol prices and the feedstock prices. It's maybe worth also to start here with the graph, and it's quite speaking. You can see the current financial year is the green line, And you can see that from the beginning of the year, I start with ethanol prices. We have been clearly above the two other financial years, 2021 and 21-22. So, but what you can also see, and this is part of our concerns leading to the press release of September, we have seen recently a strong decrease in ethanol prices. They are still on a high level, but given the in the last weeks and months, here we have seen a decrease in ethanol prices. What is currently triggering those price decreases is there's a lot of import pressure. So you can see in the text that Brazilian exports have increased by 580% to over 600,000 cubic meters. And all in all, it is expected that in the current financial year or calendar year 2022, we assume imports to reach 1.8 million cubic meters, which is clearly above the figure of last year. When it comes to the feedstock market, that's the lower part of the graph, or the right-hand graph in the lower part of the slide, you can see also here that raw material prices or feedstock prices, grain prices at Euronext quotation are clearly above the last 2 year financial years, with peaking over 400 euros per ton in the wake of the Russian aggression against Ukraine. But also here, since the beginning of the war, the prices have decreased, but stabilizing in a round of over 300 euros per ton. When it comes to the grain harvest expectations, so for the EU, we expect a lower grain harvest for the market year 2022-23 and a stable consumption. On a worldwide level here, the International Grains Council expects also a slight decline with 2.248 million tons and a stable consumption. And but it's clear the strong prices in grain, rise in grain in prices that we've seen is triggered by the war in Ukraine, and also day-to-day news also have always a strong impact on the daily prices. A point of particular attention for us are the energy markets. I mean, this is for all industries right now the case. So it's on gas prices, but also on steam and electricity. Let's also maybe start with the graphs on the right-hand side. The trend is the same as I've stated before for the other raw materials and ethanol prices. So there's a strong increase for all energy prices since the beginning of the war. And since some months there is some relief, but still, and also for the spot quotations, energy prices are very high. And this is linked to the fact that we have, for when we start with gas, it's the damage of Nord Stream 1 and 2. There are some LNG imports, but and also what is positive in Germany, the gas storage has reached about 93%. But is there still a high uncertainty on energy levels, both on quantities and on pricing for the weeks and months to come? Positive is the energy support packages that are discussed in the different countries. So this is true for Germany and for UK and other countries. So for UK, there's a capping of the gas price envisaged at £75 per megawatt hour, and for electricity at £211 per megawatt hour. This is quite a complex issue, and our teams, both in Wilton and here in Mannheim, we work on that to see whether and to which extent we can benefit from those packages. And that as it is a complex issue, I assume that there will be some Q&A on this topic, and Heike Baumbach and myself, we're happy to go into more detail if you have questions on that later on in the Q&A section. So I move over to the financials. We will have a look into the second quarter and in the first half, that means Q1 plus Q2. I start with an overview on Q2. And I'm very happy here and proud also about the entire Crop Energies team having delivered also a very tough environment here with an extraordinary second quarter. You can see that all KPIs show excellent results. I start with production. So production is up by 6% at 302,000 cubic meters. This is a strong value given really the challenging environment. leading the high ethanol prices that I've already discussed, we come out with revenues at 449 million euros, very strong figure. When it comes to the profit KPIs, for example, if we take operating profit, we turned out with a new record level of 92.5 million euros in the second quarter. As I said, very happy and proud about the achievements here and from the entire CropEnergies team. Finally, net financial assets turned out at over 350 million euros. We will talk later on strategy, so this is a strong basis for our future growth projects. Let's have a look on the next page, a little bit more detailed on the operating profit in the second quarter. Revenues just explained, so this is triggered by higher volumes and higher prices. Cost of materials increased clearly given the higher raw material prices and energy prices. Nevertheless, the spread has been increased significantly compared to prior year. All in all, we came out with an operating profit of 92.5 million euro. If you look to the right-hand side to the graph, you can see that this is our best quarter ever achieved. I continue on the next slide with an overview on the first six months. That means Q1 plus Q2. Here's the same picture, very good results. All the KPIs are in plus. I just finished ethanol production plus 12%, revenues reaching almost 850 million euro, and an operating profit of roughly 180 million euro. Strong figures and very positive. On the next slide, some more details for the first six months when it comes below operating profit. You can see that there are no special items or restructuring costs. At equity, a result is slightly positive. Income operations turns roughly out at the same level as operating profit. Below income from operations, we have the financial result and the taxes. When it comes to financial result, it is the same as we have indicated over the last quarters. It's fluctuating, sometimes slightly positive, sometimes slightly negative. This is linked to unrealized currency gains or losses from the GBP against the euro valuation. In the first six months of this year, it has turned out positive with a financial result reaching 1.2 billion euro. When it comes to taxes, our tax rate has decreased to 25%, which is also our assumption for the entire financial year. Taxes came out at 45 million euro, and then net earnings finally reaching 135.8 million euros. Let's have a look on the cash flow before we go to the outlook and to strategy. You can see that also net cash from operating activities came in strongly with reaching almost 180 million euros, minus investments and increases in financial receivables and so on. We finally turned out at 354 million euros. That's the figure you can see on the bottom of the graph. It's a significant increase in net financial assets, and you can see here the investments in financial assets, that is the investments in the first stake at LXP Group. Closing on the financial part, I come to the outlook for the financial year 2022/2023. I have already stated at the beginning that we confirm this outlook as we have stated it in August. We still assume revenues to reach between 1.47 billion and 1.57 billion euros, and EBITDA in a range of 255 million-305 million euros, and an operating profit between 215 million and 265 million euro. What are the assumptions for this outlook? When it comes to transport and mobility, we assume continued normalized mobility behavior. That means we do not foresee a strong decrease linked to Corona, even though there is uncertainty what the the winter might bring on the corona side. What is really very difficult to assess, this is true for Copa Energies, but it's for all producing companies, is the effects of the Ukraine war and the effects on the energy prices. We can see that the day-to-day news have a strong impact on the prices. So this is continued or will continue to be difficult to assess. We assume nevertheless that we will have sufficient energy and raw materials to fulfill our production plan. And when it comes to the further availability and price development of the energy markets, this is difficult to predict given the uncertainties of the outcome and the continuation of the war. On the political sides, we assume that the member states will essentially maintain their planning targets, which has been in line for this year so far, and we still believe this to be continued for the remainder of the year. So we do not assume significant drop-downs here in the blending mandates. And we also assume that the higher energy and raw material costs can at least partially be offset by higher sales prices for ethanol and food and animal feed products. We have seen recently a decrease in prices, but if you look into the forward curve, there's an increase of ethanol prices assumed on the forward curve. And so based on these assumptions, we believe that if you look at midpoint, finally, revenues to be in the field of 1.5 million euro and operating profit then midpoint at 240 million euro. So I come to the last section of the presentation, which is an update on strategy. You can find here on the page the overview. So what we do at Crop Energies and what is the cornerstone of our strategy is we provide green carbons. And strategy-wise, it's very important to, again and again, to make clear that the point is not decarbonization, what everybody is talking about, but it's about defossilization, because carbons are needed. You need carbons for transport, you need carbons for chemistry, you need in many, many markets, you need carbons. And our objective, what we need to do as companies or as societies, we have to replace those fossil carbons by green carbons. And this is the cornerstone of our strategy. You can find the 5 bullet points. They are unchanged. I've explained them last time, but just as a reminder, for sure, we will continue in our core business, which is mobility. We strongly believe biofuels are the most effective way to defossilize transport. We will build up a new business line based on ethanol derivatives. We call it bio-based chemicals. Here we have two products in mind, which is ethylacetate and ethylene. This is also already communicated. We will continue to focus on biogenic CO2, which is a very interesting and important corner, chemical cornerstone and base chemical for many chemical products and also for synthetic fuels. We will continue in a clear growth market, which are the proteins, plant-based proteins. And the fifth point is a new business area in the field of green electricity. So for this strategy, which we have worked out over the last 2 years, we have already communicated 4 projects. So in those projects, we actively and with high commitment, the entire Crop Energies team is working on. And for closing this presentation, I will give you a short update what is new in those 4 projects you will find on the 4 following slides. First is renewable ethylacetate. Here you can see we communicated this project at the beginning of the year, and that means also the investment that we have foreseen at the beginning of the year between 18 and 100 million euro. We are waiting for the final figures for the basic engineering. This is to come in the next days. But I believe we already have to be prepared that there will be, given the general cost increase that we have seen over the year, there will be a certain increase for the investment assumption. And the decision is then to come shortly. And I believe even if there is a slight increase in or to be, we have to, I do not have the final figures, but I assume that we will have an increase for the investment assumption, but does not put into question the strategic logic of bio-based chemicals and our aim to go for defossilization. So we will come shortly to a decision on this project. When it comes to Cyclus, that is our 50% stake that we have to Dutch-based biochemical startup. Here is, as we have already communicated, this is ongoing very well. We started here the pre-basic engineering study, and we await results to come by the end of 2023. So far, everything what is written here and already communicated, I can confirm so far. The third project we work on with the entire Crop Energies teams, and where the teams also from East Energy work together, is our stake in East Energy, where we acquired a stake of 25% for building up solar photovoltaic farms. Here, the onboarding and the cooperation within the teams is ongoing and going very well. And I can say for me, if I take this project, but it's also true for the other projects, it's a good project where we can show that there's a win-win situation when a corporate works together with a startup or a startup with a corporate. Startups, they have many, many good ideas, but they, when they look or go into cooperation with a corporate, is what we can contribute is then organizing the growth, putting this into the systems. And so is what I see so far here in this project, but also in the others, there's a very fruitful and open and very good collaboration between the teams to have here a mutual success. The fourth project is also already communicated. It's our stake of approximately 20% in LXP, which is a startup having a technology for lignocellulosic material for in the field of second generation biofuels. This is also ongoing very well. And we do here right now some additional tests on woody material. And if this turns out to be successful, we continue also here in this field with woody material, and we have signed a license agreement. So all of the four projects give you a feeling that we are fully committed in executing upon our strategy, and the teams work very well on that. And I'm very happy to share those positive results right now, and we will continue to do so in the weeks and months to come. Thank you very much so far. This was our presentation on markets, financials, and strategies. And now Heike and myself, we're happy, very happy to take your additional questions that you might have. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on their touchtone telephone. To withdraw your question, you may press star followed by two. Your questions will be answered in the order they are received. As a reminder, anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. One moment for the first question, please. First question is from the line of Hartmut Moers with Matelan. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Well, congratulations to excellent results. I mean, doing better than the very good first quarter is quite an achievement in such a situation. What has surprised me positively was production. You came to 302,000 cubic meters in the quarter, and I checked that you achieved that only once in the history of Crop Energies. What does that tell us for the remainder of the year? Are you aiming to maintain that kind of production? What about possible maintenance work? I know that this is a bit tricky from your point of view as a market leader because it's price sensitive, but just tell us what you think you can.
Thank you for this question. It's true. We, as I said, production came out very strong with plus 12%. This is linked to the fact that in the first 6 months, we almost had no maintenance in the plant. So they were running, let's say, full blast at optimal capitalization utilization. But for the second half of the year, there's some maintenance ongoing, which is not unexceptional maintenance, which is plant maintenance. So I do not assume that we can do the same in the second half of the year. I know our engineers, they will do their very best to continuously optimize the production plants, but the first 6 months they benefited from the fact that there was no significant plant maintenance, which is foreseen for the second half.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Second question is with regard to imports. I mean, you've raised that topic, and looking at the forward curve, it's suggests in a way that that might be a one quarter event. I mean, we've seen forwards for the third for your third quarter coming down, but until the end of the year, forward prices recover, and from next year on, we are well above 1,000 euro per cubic meter again, which is, I would say, a very decent price with which you can work very well. Do you perceive it that way, or are there any factors I'm missing on that side?
No, I share that point. So we have seen a decrease in prices due to the imports coming in, but you're fully right. The forward curve assumes that those imports will then be absorbed, and the forward curve is reaching back levels above 1,000 euros per cubic meter. Yes. So I share your view.
Great, thank you. The third point is, and I know you're not talking, we've been talking about the second quarter, not the third quarter, but we're always looking ahead, and I mean, we've seen that prices have come down, so to me, it would be obvious that it will not be possible to reach a similar earnings level compared to the first or the second quarter. So what I would be interested in is your hedging position, in particular on the on the top line. I mean, obviously hedging gains with a decreasing wheat price would not be as large as they were in the first quarter, but on the top line, are you going to benefit from hedging in this period, or have you missed that peak point in a way?
So yes, hedging positions are sensitive information, so we cannot disclose a high level of details on that. What we generally did, and what we is true so far, we go step by step for hedging the raw material side. So we have a very high hedging position for the current financial year for grains, and gradually this goes out, and that's also why we see a cost increase to come into the accounts as quarter by quarter. And when it comes to the ethanol hedging position, as we have stated in the previous quarters, we have rather a defensive approach, doing not too much hedging on the ethanol side. This is also linked to the low liquidity on the ethanol markets.
Okay. And a final, very short one, with regard to the chart you showed on natural gas in the UK. So basically, this chart illustrate that prices have now come back to the level where you were at, where we were last year. That would suggest to me that this eases the pressure on Wilton, to some extent. Is that a right way of viewing it?
Mr. Merz, I will take this question. Thank you for asking. I think we're talking about the current business year, and as we stated, we have secured prices also on the gas side for this business year, of course, not all. And yes, you're right, on the spot level, you can see some ease on prices, but please be aware that especially for the UK market, which is linked to the NBP index, we have still quite a mismatch of the spot market and the winter future. So if you look at the winter, it's still well above what you see in the spot market.
Okay. Thank you very much. It was very helpful.
As a reminder, that's star followed by one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Michael Schaefer with Oddo. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my questions. Michael Schaefer from Oddo BHF. So I want to stick to the energy question and elaborate a bit further. I mean, indeed, at least the numbers I look at in for December looks much higher than the gas price, so confirming basically what you just stated. So in general, I'd like to discuss the bridge also heading into next year. You said that you benefited strongly still from a hedging position which you have in both in the Netherlands and but also in the or from in Europe, continental Europe, but also the UK. But of what what's happening if we look into next year? I mean, given what you stated in your annual report that you are consuming roughly 3 megawatt hours of gas per cubic, and given what we have seen as an inflation and gas costs, so this can be quite a sizable headwind also heading into the next fiscal year. And given, let's say, the energy support package, can you give us an idea what the kind of, let's say, maybe worst and best case scenario may look like when it comes to your energy cost position heading into the second half now and then heading also into the next fiscal year, which looks to me the most exposed probably to what we have seen as a very recent price evolution on energy. So this would be my first question.
Okay, thank you, Michael. I think I will also take this one then. Let's take the current business year. It's, as said, we have some significant shares of price fixings for our energy risk positions, but of course not all. This is also typical when you look at the gas markets, you usually fix calendar years and not sugar business years. So this is also a factor to be taken into account. We have confirmed with the today's publication our outlook. So if we would have had a completely different view on that, we would have had to change that. So that's also clear. And for next business year, I think it's very early to say, because let's look at the UK energy support package. Yeah, Stefan just mentioned the price caps, 75 pounds for natural gas, 211 pounds for electricity. That is, of course, generally very favorable. On the other hand, we also have to look into details. Is it really applicable for all our contracts? Because what we need in an ethanol production is gas, is steam, is electricity. And then, so it's then again in the details to evaluate how much we can benefit. And then you know that this support scheme in the UK so far is communicated to last until March. We don't really know will there be an extension or not, and our business year just starts in March, so difficult to give you a very firm answer on that. It's a bit too early to say. For the German support package, what is discussed currently from the Gas Commission, we rather think we will not benefit too much because, we have a good or long-term contracts for the German side, so this would probably not affect too much our cost position. And maybe last but not least, what you mentioned from the annual report, the 3 megawatt hour for the production of ethanol per cubic meter, this is more a market figure that does not necessarily apply to all our factories. So if you would buy a standard factory, not optimized, etc., that would be the best guess to take for your calculations. But please keep in mind, cannot be applied one to one.
We do so. Just as a follow up on your German position. So did I get this right? Basically, that we, since you are not benefiting from the support package, and at least what we have read and how it's designed, basically it starts in January next year and it lasts until April next year, i.e. 24. So at least your hedging position is basically stretching out into 24. That's at least my read, and it's probably coming below the 70 euros per megawatt hour guess. So it's largely correct when it comes to your German position. It's just to be clear.
Yes.
Okay. Cool. Then coming back on what you said in September, I mean, back then you highlighted that you are reviewing whatever you'd like to do with, or you have to do potentially with Wilton. So now we are in mid of October, so it's a bit of 4 weeks. Well, you had a bit of a chance to look into, as you said, into the support package, which at least is lasting then until March. So when should we expect, let's say, any conclusion from your review? I mean, in the meantime, and leaving aside gas, we have seen also now the raw mats, i.e., wheat prices creeping up again, and while on the other hand, as you rightly said, import pressure is putting pressure also on ethanol prices. So what's the kind of timeline, or what are you waiting for to make a final decision, or are basically current market conditions still favorable and you're just producing, as we speak, and look for on a day-to-day basis? So what's the kind of time frame and you're currently looking at when it comes to Wilton? It's probably linked to Wilton primarily.
Okay. In general, as Heike just explained, we deem positive the UK support package. So we believe this goes absolutely in the right direction, and the industry in UK, not only us, but also the others, we need here clearly support for the energy costs, which covers, as Heike said, gas, electricity and steam. So what we do right now, we are currently under due diligence examining these programs. All in the field of gas, electricity and steam, and we have to take into consideration that we have external energy suppliers, and together we elaborate the situation. The general assumption is that there will be a positive impact on the cost side. On the other side, as we have seen or just discussed recently, the ethanol prices have come down, but the forward curve is looking promising with ethanol prices over 1,000 euros per cubic meter. So as of today, no decision is possible. Yeah, and we will closely monitor this in the weeks to come, and then we will come. Yeah, but it's a question of weeks. Then we will come to a decision. Mm-hmm. And we have to, at the same time, we have to examine really finally and closely the support package. We have to have a clearer picture on the import situation, being then a clearer picture on the ethanol prices. We need to have a clearer picture, yeah, on all the raw material costs, and then we will come to a decision. But it's not possible today. It will come in the next weeks.
Okay. Coming back to your to the ethanol pricing, indeed, it looks at least not really, or at least counterintuitive, at least to me. That we are talking, rising imports from Brazil in ethanol, for instance, into the European market, putting pressure on spot markets. Well, on the other hand, the future curve is trading contango. So what is changing then going forward? What the forward market is suggesting, that there is either an easing pressure from imports from Brazil or from elsewhere, or is the forward curve just not putting? I mean, you said that you're fine with the forward curve. I would be the same on your position certainly, but I just wanted to get an understanding. Is the liquidity behind this forward curve really something which is stress tested in a sense? Otherwise, so maybe the spot is telling more of the truth here.
Difficult question, a more generic answer to that. I mean, we have always seen a high volatility in ethanol prices, and this volatility has even been increased in the last week. So we had seen significant drops, over 100 euros per cubic meter in a day. This is new, but also then a trend upwards. So it's really very volatile, and it's difficult also for us to foresee. It's also because it's also triggered day by day by news from the war and in the week. It's hardly to predict what comes out of there. What we can see if we look into historic data that's go into, for example, if I take the German market, there you can have month by month, very detailed data from BAFA on mobility behavior and consumptions. Here we can see clearly if the latest figures that have been communicated are year-to-date figures June, and here we can see that the gasoline consumption was up roughly 8%, but ethanol in gasoline was up almost 12%. So what we can see, if we continue to assume, and that's what we do, in normalization in mobility behavior, that means, in other words, a strong demand for road transport, there we assume a sound demand for ethanol and then being supportive for the prices. This is the general trend, which I assume, or we assume, we can see this also over the next weeks and months. But going there will be high volatility. So short term, it's very difficult to see what will happen tomorrow or this next week with the ethanol prices. All in all, I think the forward curve is right with a contango situation, given the strong mobility need and the strong road transport.
Mm-hmm. Okay, got you. My final question on the ethanol side, and then I have another one on Rhenetac. The current strike we see in France, is this something where you see basically consumption going down? Is this something which is measurable, or do you expect any kind of catch-up? So just quick answer on this one would be fine.
I mean, the strike in France is linked to labor issues and salaries, yeah. I just, from the news information, the French state is going to open the strategic reserves. I can't tell you how long this strike will continue. For sure, if the refineries would be blocked for a longer time, this can have an impact. For the time being, we also wait and see. I hope that they come closely to a negotiation and to a result for the negotiation. The state is reacting, but I also read that some petrol stations are running out of petrol. Yeah, but I cannot give you a detailed answer what might be then the effects.
Okay. My final question is, and to go back in queue, on Rhenetac. You mentioned that you are still waiting for the final engineering and for the outcome, but probably it comes with higher costs, and you are nevertheless progressing with that one. So does this also mean that we should think that this is deferring the whole project? I mean, do you, given also the kind of labor shortage or whatever, that this is dragging out more on the timeline, or are you fine with what you've communicated so far?
I'm fine with what we have communicated. So as I said, so I'm prepared to see higher numbers on the investment. Yeah, this is, as I said, linked to the general cost increase on all commodities, but I do not see a problem on the timeline. So we are still in timeline. It has taken us some more time, but this is still okay.
Okay. Thank you very much.
There are no further questions registered at this time. I would like to hand back to Dr. Stefan Meder for closing comments.
Okay, then I do thank you very much for your interest in participating today in our Q2 conference call. We will speak to you closely at the latest when we have our Q3. And for the time in between, I wish you all the best, stay healthy, and all the best in these challenging times. Thank you all. Goodbye.